Dennis Bernstein hosts your daily news magazine. At 11 o'clock today, Between the Covers, we'll be talking to Max Nemtsov about his Russian translation of the classic Gravity's Rainbow. And at 11:30, Black Book Talk presents Portland native Renee Watson and her new work, Piecing Me Together. That is all coming up this morning, but first, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary. Hey, thanks KBOO members for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
Hello, KBOO members. Thank you for being a part of our amazing community. It takes all of us to manage this great community resource, and the role played by the KBOO Board of Directors is essential. Here's an opportunity for you to join the KBOO Board and become part of the team that is guiding our daily work and representing the interests and visions of all of our members. Please consider applying to become a KBOO Board member if you want to help serve our community and put your gifts and talents to good use. There's a time commitment about 15 hours a month for all board members, and you must be a KBOO member. To apply, go to kboo.fm or stop by the station and pick up a paper copy. The deadline to apply is February 18th at 5 p.m. We are looking for folks who love KBOO, who are committed to the community, and KBOO's values of peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, environmentalism, freedom of expression, and social change. Apply today to support your community radio station, KBOO, Portland.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, February 2nd, Groundhog's Day 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, sanctuary radio, or Cascadia, alternative radio for alternative people at 90.7 FM on the radio, or perhaps the fillings in your teeth, and to KBOO.FM. Everywhere, except those people wearing tin hats, which may interfere with reception. Please remove tin hat before tuning in. To weather, today we've got a slight chance of rain or freezing rain before the afternoon rolls on to us. And then, of course, they're predicting snow or freezing rain. Highs around 36 and breezy. I don't know where you live, but breezy really does not cover it. It's out in the gorge, blowing a goat. It's incredibly windy, and there's a good chance that we will see some precipitation of one sort or another. Tonight, sleet, possibly mixed with snow, freezing rain, lows around 31. Again, they say breezy. Yes. And then for tomorrow, rain, freezing rain, and sleet. That's early on, then rain, freezing rain, or sleet. Oh, that's a big change. And cloudy with a high near 34 for tomorrow night. Rain, freezing rain, sleet. So basically it's all day tomorrow and tomorrow night. Rain, freezing rain, or sleet. And lows around 34. Low temperatures hovering in the low 30s for the next few days. Today's guest is Stephen Zunis. You know him well for this program. I have been talking to a number of people about the appointment of Rex Tillerson and also about Jeff Sessions and Syria. It's doubtful that Trump and the people he has chosen to surround himself with have much of a grasp on the situation in Syria. I doubt they could find it on a map. That said, it is there and it has to be dealt with. And turning Syrians, tiny Syrian babies away at the airport is not much of a foreign policy. That is about as far as Trump has managed to advance American diplomacy, is annoying babies. Is where we stand. There are people stranded for a multitude of reasons. All these very human stories all around the world. No one thought this out. No one thought, what is this actually going to do in real time? This is not a game. This is not Ready Player One. This is reality, Donald. And you might want to Google that sometime. So here wades Donald Trump into this amazingly complex situation. We'll be speaking in just a moment with Stephen Zunis. He is a professor. He's at the University of California, San Francisco, and professor of political science, and with a particular focus on the Middle East. He is our go-to person when it comes to situations in the Middle East, with a particular interest in Syria. Look, it's certainly taken the focus off of Israel, where Israelis have now Benjamin Netanyahu is building another 5,000 houses, all of them packed solid with angry bonehead settlers waving pitchforks. It's taken the focus off of the Palestine, and into that void wades Netanyahu, shovel ready to build more settlements and to bury more Palestinians. So all of this business, a minute that there's this vacancy or void of any serious leadership in and around Syria, then everything else is going to heat up. We now have an Iranian situation to deal with, and Trump has no, there are no there is no notion of diplomacy as it's been known before in the past. This is definitely not normal. The situation in the Middle East was not normal before, but now it's in serious trouble. And joining us this morning to talk about exactly that, Stephen Zunis. Stephen, welcome to the KBOO Airwaves. Thank you so much.
Yeah, good to be with you.
Well, so this has the advent of Trump seems to have, if not destabilized, certainly provided a void in leadership or even the idea of leadership in that area. So now we have Iran taking advantage of that. We've got 5,000 houses being built and settlers moving in. Can you tell us a little bit about with this?
So basically, Trump approaches the Middle East as he does just about everything else. Doesn't have a lot of fact-based knowledge of the situation, but has his impulsive and, frankly, rather reactionary views. The threats on Iran we've seen the past couple of days because of a missile test are totally manufactured. Iran, like any other country in the region, has the right to missile test. There was a UN Security Council resolution restricting Iran, missile testing several years ago, but that was superseded by a subsequent resolution that allowed such tests, since the concern was not the missiles themselves, but the fact that they might be nuclear capable. But thanks to the seven-party nuclear agreement, it is physically impossible for Iran to develop a nuclear weapon to put on such a missile. So it's no longer a big deal in the eyes of the international community. And yet here is Trump accusing Iran of violating the nuclear deal by testing a missile, even though that wasn't even part of the nuclear agreement, and making all sorts of other threats, which appear to be designed to create some kind of confrontation.
And it's based on no reality at all. In any of these cases, these are virtually everything that Trump is presenting on a platter to his mob of followers. All of it is artificial and designed just to inflame already. Inflamed sentiments, it would appear.
And what's been very very disturbing is that while the elected Democrats have been showing some uncharacteristic backbone on a number of issues, when it comes to Trump's Middle East policy, in many ways they have been falling right in line. For example, a majority of Democrats joined virtually all Republicans in a resolution a couple of weeks ago siding with Trump against Obama on the question of Israeli settlements and the role of the United Nations in weighing in on issues of international humanitarian law. And, you know, we know, and in the Senate, there's another version of that resolution co-sponsored by Argonne's a senior senator that similarly attacks Obama for not vetoing a very modest resolution on the illegality of the Israeli settlements, and essentially says the United Nations, you know, has no right to weigh in on questions of international humanitarian law in territories under foreign belligerent occupation.
Of course it does.
The UN can't do that. I mean, what can it do?
Yeah, exactly.
But of course, I think this really behooves those of us who are concerned about these dangerous trends in the Trump administration's Middle East policy to not only protest the policies themselves, but make sure that our senators and representatives, especially those of us who live in predominantly Democratic areas, to make sure that they challenge these kinds of dangerous moves as well.
And to make sure that we know what we're talking about when we do stand up and challenge this. The trouble is so few people do. The dangerous thing is the ignorance in this case. Stephen, I thank you so much for being with us. I'd like to follow up on this next week as soon as possible, because there's a lot happening. There's a lot coming down the pike. and it's not all groundhogs. Again, thanks very much. This is Groundhog Day. What a perfect time. People in Syria are popping their heads out of bomb craters, looking around to see whether it's cloudy or not and whether it's going to be another 6 weeks of war. Probably, chances are good that there will be another 6 weeks of war. And on that note, this has been Cascadia and or Cascadia for February, for Thursday, February 2nd, 2017. Engineering for us today, Rock Bergeron. Thanks, Rock. Derek Hooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.